This is episode 161 of Drunk on Comics, brought to you by InkWhiskey.com. Nipples and tiny beer glasses.
They're my nipples.
And my beer glasses. I need to share this with you guys. So, got a new phone, and I got like one of those little glass protectors. You know, it's got the tempered glass shit on it. Mm-hmm. The instructions on here, I love when instructions are translated poorly from another language. Okay, number one was, please clean the fingerprints and oil stains on the screen with professional screen towelette, then wipe the screen with dry towelette for quick cleaning. Cool.
Straightforward.
They have professional towelettes?
Yes. Yeah, it actually came with it.
Like, it's not an amateur towelette.
No, no, no.
It's a professional towelette.
It's not even the one that was almost good enough to be professional, but, like, has to mature a few more years. Okay. You know, in the
semi. Not the red shirt. It's not the red shirt.
No, no, no. Okay. No, like this towelette actually gets paid, therefore it's professional.
It was drafted. It was drafted in the first round.
It's not even semi-professional. Yeah. Okay. Number two was, ensure the location of screen protector and lay-in direction. Peel the number one release film and make the screen protector aligned with the edge and hole sight. Then apply the screen protector all over the machine accordingly. See, this is where things start to fall apart. Number three, good after, such as dust particles, such as vacuuming paper available to particles sticking out.
What?
Number four, to be filmed entirely after absorption with wipes, wipe the screen positive.
Okay.
Wait, number five. Lightly press the bubble point fingers at will soon disappear.
Those sound like instructions.
I was just about to say, for a good time, I love you long time.
Can't press my bubble points.
Here's the real question, though. Are there any pictures there? Because this is a fucking comic book podcast.
Well, there kind of are. Like, there's little...
No, those aren't IKEA instructions. IKEA instructions are the king of comic book assembly instructions.
Right.
And therefore, they win in my book.
If you ever need help building your Geflurgen, they have the best instructions ever.
I personally like the Jarl.
Yeah.
But yeah, or is it a Jarl? I don't know. Is it a soft J? Like Yogging?
No, I had to share that with you guys because that is...
I don't have the bubble point.
Hello Kitty, love you long time.
Bubble points. Keep poking the bubble point with your finger.
Yeah, so anyway, I had to bring that up because I'm like, you know what? You assholes will appreciate this as much as I did. So anyway, welcome to Drunk on Comics.
Yo.
Woo. What's up?
Cheers.
Cheers.
Yep. Yay.
We're alive, you guys. We're not live.
Sort of. We're on location.
No, we're alive.
We are alive. Barely. My liver's
still hanging in the flux, but.
We're at the Hideout.
We are at the Hideout Brewery. Company, and don't know exactly when, how, or what, but probably the Hideout Brewing Special will be after the normal podcast.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
It'll be on there. You'll see it.
But yeah,
you'll listen to it, and it's amusing, and it's really good.
If you listen to this one first, there's something coming later. If you're listening to this one second, then you already know what we're fucking talking about.
And you'll understand our inebriation. So... All right, guys, who wants to... wait, we should probably just introduce, because we have...
We have a new gear. Yeah.
Yep. So, I am Derek, old Derek, a.k.a. the OG Derek.
D-Rock.
OG Derek, yo.
Oh, wait, no,
the ODB.
What?
Oh,
that was good. I like that.
The old Derek bastard.
You're now the ODB.
I am, and it works on multiple levels. But what was it that I am... I'm now the what?
The Barble Baron?
The Burble Baron.
The Burble Baron. Oh, Burble Baron.
I am Derek the Burble Baron.
All right.
Yes.
Excellent. My name is Adam. It is my first time on the podcast, but...
Fourth time drinking.
He has
fourth time drinking
nipples.
Here. I do have amazing nipples, which is apparently going to be a running thing when I wear my extra medium shirts.
If you've ever been to any convention we were at recently, you've seen Adam. He's the little leprechaun things.
Yeah, people who have actually come and visited us, I'm the one that's slinging the flasks.
From Ink Whiskey.
Yep.
Yeah, and,
thank you guys.
Yeah, you guys are the best. It's really easy to sell your product due to the fact that I look like a drunk. And
you look Irish.
You just Irish.
They do, and you know, and the beard helps, and people just look at me and they go, you know, I feel like you know about alcohol, and I can trust you with this flask. You're right, sir. You can. And no, you cannot have any of the bourbon that's in my flask right now.
I am new Derek, here as always recently.
Also known as Funny Derek.
And Young Neil.
Young Neil.
Young Neil.
That's his new nickname.
Young Neil. It's Scott Pilgrim.
Scott Pilgrim. Yeah.
Okay. I was wondering if, like, you know, it's like a Neil and Bob reference.
Well,
because he's
and then friends. I'm going to introduce Linz because she's awesome.
Oh, thanks, Matt.
You're welcome.
Oh, damn it. He said his name. Now I was going to say, we could just keep going. We just not introduce Matt.
You say it three times. Does he go away?
Matt. Nope, he's still here.
You said it four times.
Try it again.
Matt.
Awesome. All right, so let's go.
Matt's you know here what? Too, you
Just
guys.
For that, I'm kicking off the shelf this week, okay?
All right, what do you got?
I've got Loki, Agent of Asgard, The Last Days, number 16. Yeah, that's the 16 one. well, this story.
You have multiple sitting in front of you.
I do, because the Last Days was a three-part series that takes part in the Agent of Asgard Loki series, which was really, really good. It gets convoluted, so I'm going to try my best to make this as sober and straightforward as possible. But let me start with the story was by Al Ewing. Artist Lee Garbett. Yep. And now I can read a little bit. Antonio Fablea did the colors, and VC's Clayton Cowles was the letterer. You know, we haven't been given enough credit to letterers recently.
That's true.
No, that's
and I think the fact that they spell things properly is a really credit.
Here's kind of my thing on letterers. I like to give credit. I like to point out when they do really awesome stuff. Like, I will show something later. But...
Remember, any Asgardian book has Thor Vedica and also really fun fonts throughout the whole thing. So, letters there.
We're going to interrupt for a second because I am drinking. What is this, Adam?
You are drinking the chocolate almond. No, excuse me. Yes, the chocolate almond. Chocolate almond.
Is that what you had, or was it
brown?
The citrus.
No, that's. Dude, how much of my beer are you taking?
Just a little.
I'm going to.
It's
drink a little guy. Rest
okay.
Of it, I think.
But so it's the chocolate almond brown here at Hideout Brewing Company.
Oh my God.
It tastes like an almond joy bar.
The
it
coconut.
Is.
Coconut almond brown.
I'm sorry, the coconut almond brown.
That's
what we're looking for.
Yeah.
Fucking good.
Yeah, basically,
it's stupid good. They're drinking the nitro version. Lindsay they also have CO2 on tap.
Lindsay put it in her mouth and then just started making jacking off.
Yeah, no, there's actually this puddle on the ground where all of our feet are getting wet because we're in flip-flops because it's 95 out here in Grand Rapids.
No, I have tennis shoes. But
that's good. Well, the rest of us are covered in Lindsay juices.
I've hung out with Lindsay before.
Sweet Jesus.
I'm sorry, Matt. Go on.
So, Loki.
Matt's sitting right next to me. He knows what's up.
Loki, Agent of Asgard.
Why am I wet?
Here's the thing. Here's the thing about this.
Why is Jared putting on waders?
He's a little guy. He'll get swept away.
We'll fly fishing later, guys. All
right, Loki. Let's talk about Loki. And
serious faces?
All right. No more vagina talk.
Oh, you said it.
Everybody drink.
Drink.
I'm very excited.
Everybody at home, you also have to drink.
Especially if you're in a car. Okay, now.
That's not fair, Dazzle. I love
beer. This is going to be the best podcast ever, you guys.
No, seriously, we're going to focus. I'm going to try to make this succinct because it was awesome. And here's why it's awesome. I don't know if it's... memories of me bring back Neil Gaiman as a master storyteller of mythology and about how stories really define the characters, right? Especially the gods. Our stories of the gods are the gods that we believe in. And Loki is very much into this. He believes in this, and he no longer wished to be the god of lies. He wanted to be his own person. And so he recreated himself as the god of stories. Now, The Last Days, if you're not familiar with it, is during all this cataclysmic, we're destroying the Marvel Universe and we're going to build it back together. There's lots of series that are going, this is what happened on the last days when the universe ended. These are kind of the people sometimes that didn't make it into Battle World. And the Asgardians are a huge chunk of the Marvel Universe. So how do they survive this thing? We know in Battle World that Thor survives because Doom has the Thor guard protecting everything in the realm. But where are the other Asgardians? Well, this is kind of the answer to that thing. And the other reason why you want to pick up this book, even when it comes into trade paperbacks, is that it's pretty meta. it really got me thinking. And what it got me thinking about is the fact that this is a story about the stories of the end times for the Marvel Universe.
It's like The Storyteller from Jim Henson.
Yes, great series.
Right?
Right.
It's bringing me back to Six Gun Gorilla, mm-hmm. which is a story about stories, mm-hmm. which is one of my favorites.
I was going to say, this goes back as far as like Alibaba and the 40 Thieves, like you know, the whole classic works of a story of someone telling stories.
Mm-hmm. And that, or even you can go back to the ancient Greeks.
Nights,
and was. The ancient Greeks believed that by telling a person's story, they live on in immortality.
It's true.
So... this is deep, and because we are drinking, you know it's the truth. So, anyways, Loki
I don't know about you fuckers, but alcohol for me is definitely truth serum.
For sure.
So Loki is now the god of stories, and with these end days, they know that the final incursion is going to happen, the universe is going to be destroyed, so the gods and all their old foes, they have one last Ragnarok, they have one last battle. And like any good story... there are fun quirks in it. And one, as Matt wants to read comics to you, comes when Sigurd and Lorelei decide to pledge their fealty to the Asgardian cause. And they go, we bring gifts from our sojourn to Midgard. Because in the ancient Norse tradition, you give gifts when you are making oaths. And they said, while wearing these, they convey what the Midgardians call the magic of cool. And then they put on sunglasses so that they can ride into the final battle with sunglasses on. And it's the little things like that that make Al Ewing a really master storyteller here. You're engaged throughout the whole thing. You're really interested in what's happening. Characters are being their best versions of themselves. And that's the point. Because in the end, Loki has captured the story of these Asgardians. And he has brought it outside of the universe. And by bringing it outside of the universe, they will live on whenever they can find a universe again after the whole battle world sequence. So this explains why the Asgardians are still alive in the new Marvel Universe that's going to be coming. And better yet, it's just a fucking good story. So pick up The Last Days of Loki, Agent of Asgard. In fact, pick up the trade paperback of probably the whole thing. Because this is going to be something that you can bring up in a philosophy class or a history class in
not all college. Of us are teachers.
Yeah, but some of our listeners are college students, you know? And when the teacher's like, well, you need to explain to me what history is, be like, well, comic books taught me that history is about stories.
You know what? All of our listeners are students of life.
Oh, yeah. That was deep.
Okay. Why are so anyways, you laughing?
You're very introspective today.
I'm done.
Must be the booze.
I'm done. I'm
and the nipples.
Booze and nipples. Woo! Yes.
So, anyways, Loki. Awesome.
All right.
How many is this? Was that? How many are left?
This is it. That was it. That was the end of. One? That was the last of the last days. It has an ending at number 16. Okay. And so that's why trade paperback's a really good series. It's probably going to be.
Do you know? Is this going to be continuing on in the all-new, all-the-same Marvel
Universe? I don't think
universe.
Loki by himself will, but I think this version of Loki will. He's no longer trying to be an evil god of destroying, you know, Asgard and stuff. Instead, he's the god of stories.
Okay.
He's the magic theater, as they call him.
All
right. So. Cool. All right, guys. I have Archie versus Predator number 4. 4 of 4. To be very
I'm
precise.
I'm so pissed because I really thought it ended at 3 and I didn't pick it up because I was like, I got the last one.
Because when it said 3 of 4...
I fucking know it.
The whole, like, Betty and Veronica holding Archie, you thought that was the end? Because it's a really shitty ending.
You know...
climactic.
That's the way I feel
it.
About life sometimes, so...
Cliffhanger.
What, you just want it to end?
Yes.
Wow. We're going to have to talk about that later.
Yeah, like... I don't know if drinking is the best route for you.
No
but...
more drinking with Linz.
Linz becomes a nihilist. She believes in nothing.
Alright, so Archie vs. Predator, number 4 of 4 from Dark Horse Comics and also Archie Comics, because they're, you know, putting this together. This is written by Alex DeCampi. It is penciled by Fernando Ruiz. Inks are by Rich Kozlowski. Colors are Janet or Jason. Is it Millet or Millet? M-I-L-L-E-T.
It could be Millet.
I feel like
How white are we?
Murka. Sounds like millet.
Yeah. It's Murka. Yeah. And John Workman, because he works.
Does the letters. Son.
Yeah. So, this is drawn in your typical Archie style. And this is one of the most fun, terrible, terrible crossovers. Because when's the last time you saw people getting just slaughtered in Archie comics?
It's been a while.
It has been. But, so obviously, you know, Predator is in Riverdale, and the girls with dying Archie, oh, spoiler, are in Lodge.
Everybody knows Archie died already, right? Didn't that happen in a different one?
Yeah, that was Archie 666.
Yeah.
I think it was, but I don't know. But actually, no, it wasn't in that, but it was interesting. Like, total side note, what do you do when your comic runs so long that you get to issue 666? Do you just...
Do you skip it?
Do you make a mention of it? Do you not? Like,
Archie in hell.
You bring in Mephisto. You bring in the devil. You bring in Lucifer.
Yeah. Or if you're Marvel, everybody loves number one. Start it over.
Yeah.
But, no, so this one I wanted to bring up because if you have not been reading this, this is just fun. Now, to be 100% honest, I missed issue 3. Because of my moving and new job and this and that. Yeah, I missed it.
Excuses.
So while Linz can't count to 4, Derek
just completely ignores it on purpose.
1, 2, 4. King Arthur from Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
You know, truthfully, he was probably just raised Baptist and they skipped the third verse every time anyway. That's right, guys. That was church humor. You're welcome. We kept it clean.
It's Sunday. Yay. No. So I missed what happened. I have the issue. I just didn't realize, and then I'm like, oh, shit. I somehow didn't read that one. But you know what? Here's the fun thing. I totally was able to pick up on what's going on because it's a good comic, single issue, episodical type thing. You should be able to figure it out. Here's what I'm going to say shocked me the most, because I know that there have been deaths and whatnot in the previous ones. Spoilers, if you don't want to hear it, pause probably 2 minutes and you'll be fine.
Pause.
Okay.
Just jump forward.
Yeah. Pause, then jump forward. Archie getting the blade through the head and his head being popped like a fucking balloon?
He's not coming back from that.
No, he's not.
That's a pretty cool blood splatter, though.
Yeah.
And then I think also the other part of previous to that was Betty getting her arm literally cut off. This is fun, though.
You can't be disturbed by that.
No, because it's just really cute, it's fun, it's happy, it's drawn in Archie style, so they can literally do whatever they want in this comic, I think, and get away with it, because it's like, oh, but it's drawn really cute.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that's one of the reasons why I love this book. Linz, would you just like to...
I do want to look at it. Like, he's, like, holding her very delicately.
Oh, well, yeah. the fact that Predator has fallen in love with Betty,
yeah,
I think just cracks me up the most.
P.S.
No, Veronica.
That's Veronica.
Veronica has black hair, dude.
Well, no, but Predator fell in love with Betty.
Why is he saying Veron...
He's holding her very tenderly.
Yeah, but no, later on he tells Betty to make sure that she has to go and she has to live.
Oh. So he's the new Archie.
Yes, he is the new Archie.
Is essentially what this is saying.
Oh my god, revamp with Predator is Archie.
Okay, well...
I will buy all of them.
Alright, spoilers, if you're still listening, jump ahead, because guess what? Predator is the new Archie.
Oh my god, yes!
They actually put him in the machine that heals people, and they're just... You can do all this plastic surgery, so they're making Predator into a replica of Archie. Yeah. Yeah.
This is the best ending to the book ever.
That's really, how are we going to wrap this up, guys?
Plastic surgery.
Fuck it.
Oh, P.S., there's the Josie and the Pussycats thing back.
Yeah, there's a little two-page Josie and the Pussycats thing that,
Derek loves Josie and the Pussycats, you guys.
Josie and the Pussycats is the shit. Shut up.
I was pointing that out.
Yeah. It's awesome. So, anyway, Archie vs. Predator number 4, I ruined it, spoiled it, but go get it. And by the way, I did pick up the Andrew Peepoy cover, which... I love Andrew Peepoy's work on, you know, on everything Archie.
It's very Barbarella looking. Mm-hmm.
He's, you know, he has some of the best fucking line work out of any person in the industry, in my opinion. And I don't know what it is about him. He can actually draw something in a style that shouldn't be, like, really cool and edgy, but he makes it that way. So, anyway, that's it. Archie vs. Predator.
Awesome.
That said, are you going to pick up Archie vs. Sharknado that just came out this week?
What?
Yeah.
Because, you know, Sharknadoes are the thing.
Sharknado is the big thing.
I really hope we don't get hit with a Sharknado.
That would suck.
I hope we do.
That'd be pretty awesome, though.
Yeah. Freshwater sharks in Michigan? Yeah. We have a lot to worry about.
You're a Salmonado?
That'd be delicious.
Actually, Salmonado sounds like something you'd get like at a sushi restaurant.
They should kill the guy. Anyways, so since this...
What?
So this derailed quickly.
Derek must be doing a review.
Yeah, I must be doing a review because we're not actually going to talk about a comic. I picked up Cyborg number 1, everyone's least favorite Justice League character, I guess. Forgets about.
No, that's a lie.
Is it?
Yeah, Aquaman. Everyone hates Aquaman.
But he got cool in the New 52.
He did get cool in New 52.
Yeah,
so.
Aquaman got cool once upon a time when he got his hand cut off and he had a little harpoon on his hand and grew his hair long.
Man, anyone who doesn't like Aquaman needs to watch Batman the Brave and the Bold because he's the best character in that.
Outrageous!
Because New 52 Aquaman still gets shit on in the comic, which is pretty awesome. But anyways, I digress. Cyborg finally has his own series. No Geoff Johns here, but written by David F. Walker, penciled by Ivan Reis, inked by Joe Prado. So it's the same guys that did like the old Cyborg series back in the day. So they at least carried over. He carried over from Justice League.
Those two together, and for anybody that's interested, go back and listen to our interviews from Motor City, because Ivan Reis and Joe Prado are a fantastic team together. And I don't think we recorded the little draw off contest, the sketch battle. But that was fantastic seeing those two Brazilians in there against a couple Brits. But that's a story for another day.
Yeah, so, I mean, kind of plays up on the typical Cyborg, man versus machine. There's like two differentiating stories going on in this comic. There's some robots basically fighting each other in a different universe. And somehow that is going to play into the new Cyborg. Because apparently he died in this and was somehow brought back to life and has no idea what happened. He got, like, the video thing in his head shows him getting murdered, and then his software just regenerates him. And his dad, obviously, who helped create him, is like, I have no idea what's going on.
Isn't his technology alien in nature?
Yes, of sorts, yes. Okay. But this is the point where it's a whole separate, like, technology thing where they don't even know how it happened. So there's a whole thing going on where they're trying to figure out how this happened to him. And these new techno-sapiens as villains are... yes, exactly.
Are they really called techno-sapiens?
They are called techno-sapiens.
Do they work at the Apple store?
And the it starts with, like, techno-sapiens fighting tech breakers. So apparently there's these In Another Galaxy nonsense going on that's going to play into this. But
Matt, you know what they have for breakfast? Genius bars.
Oh, no.
They eat it in megabytes.
Oh!
Together. I don't know if I like this.
I'm going to ram your heads on the table here in a second.
Oh, no, that's even worse. You made a memory joke.
Well, you know what? We can just reboot and start over.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm just going to stop talking as per usual. Pick up Cyborg number 1 if you like the much maligned character, because, hey, he's pretty important in Justice League, so...
So you're going to get number 2?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. It's fun. Right. I mean, I want to see what's going on with Techno Sapiens. They're like weird, like robo aliens.
Okay.
So, how
we're all going to live in the future, probably.
Exactly.
All right, Lynn, what do you got?
This week I picked up Justice League Gods and Monsters Batman. So, I don't know if you guys have seen it, but Gods and Monsters is a new animated movie that DC just put out, which DC kills their animated movies.
They're actually really good.
They are
good.
So good.
I'm very happy with them, and I wish that they keep continuing to make them.
For sure.
So what Marvel does in real movies, DC does in animated
movies.
Yes, exactly.
Their voice acting is top-notch.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
it really
beyond belief.
It really is.
And that's why Nathan Fillion really should be the Green Lantern.
But... Nathan Fillion should be everything, but that's a discussion for another time.
puddles.
Waiters.
So Gods and Monsters, the animated movie... was done by Bruce Timm. Everybody knows Batman animated series. Bruce Timm did so much for Batman continuity and DC in general. The comic books that came out are one shots that are backgrounds of the main characters that are in Gods and Monsters. So in Gods and Monsters, you have Batman, who is actually Kirk Langstrom.
The Man-Bat.
The Man-Bat, except in this version, he's vampire.
Oh.
So he's a vampire Man-Bat.
Can he walk in daylight? Does he just get sparkly?
No.
Very good, so he's a legitimate vampire.
Well, they describe him as vampire-like, so they haven't really gotten into, like, whether he can go out in daylight or not, because a lot of this happens at night, as does most Batman.
Well, here's
I'm pretty sure the smog in Gotham City keeps it in eternal darkness anyway.
It's pretty
much
always dark in Gotham.
Well, here's my question just about vampires in general. I mean, realistically, if they can stay inside and the sun doesn't get them, why can't they just wear really good clothes?
They've done that in vampire movies where they put on a whole lot of sunscreen.
A lot of chapstick. It's a lot of chapstick.
Derek's now terrified.
You would never survive as a vampire.
That's why I'm scared of vampire movies. They use a lot of chapstick.
So in Gods and Monsters, so this is alternate reality. So obviously Kirk Langstrom, not traditionally Batman, normally Man-Bat.
And P.S., we will talk about the multiverse and DC continuity a little bit later.
Coming soon. The Superman in this is Hernan Guerra, who is actually the son of General Zod. So instead of being Kal-El, he's of the Zod bloodline. And then Wonder Woman is Becca, who's the wife of a new god, and she gets kicked off Apocalypse for some reason. I don't really know. Something happened, she got kicked off. So this is your Justice League and this alternate reality, and they're not necessarily the best people. Like, the world doesn't think of them as, like, their beacon of hope. They think of them as kind of scary.
Gods are monsters.
There
clever,
you go.
Cleverly
right.
titled.
Gods and monsters, not gods are monsters.
Gods and monsters. You have to decide. So the one-shots are because the movie just jumps in with them already being established characters. So the one-shots that they've put out are kind of the backstories of these characters. So this goes into how Kirk Langstrom became a vampire. It had to do with the serum that had traditionally turned him into Man-Bat, turns him into this vampire to fight this disease that he has inside of him. And he starts feeding on people that he considers bad. So he's going after, like, crime bosses and stuff like that. And eventually...
kind of has a Michael Morbius feel to it.
It's true, though.
That was a terrible joke, but I do have to toast you for that one.
That's what we're about here. Terrible jokes. So eventually the press names him the Batman because he's feeding on people. I mean, bats don't generally feed on people, but, you know, that's...
Yeah. just public service announcement. Bats don't actually harm people,
no.
So please don't kill them, because they're awesome. They eat mosquitoes.
They do.
What about vampire bats?
They bite your toes.
Yeah, they only get your toes,
they
man.
They feed on cows, generally. Vampire bats do. But
plus, we're not living
in Africa.
Yeah.
Or Mexico, yeah.
Right.
Chupacabra.
So...
it's just a great word.
Matt's drunk, you guys.
The day has started right.
This is turning into a Derek review.
I like the fact that Matt's just drinking from tiny glasses, like somehow that will keep him from getting drunk, but you keep refilling the tiny glass, Matt.
Just drink out of this glass.
30. Glasses? Yeah, but they were a little long.
I've had 30 shots of beer, you guys.
Power hours are the best thing that had ever happened to me.
he's literally spilling it all over the table, folks. We are going to have to cut him off. Thank God it's the end of the
glass. There.
You could have just drank out of that glass.
Shh.
Listeners don't need to know this.
Back to the review, real quick. I'm going to wrap this up. He kills the main boss of Gotham, Lou Moxon, and he also kills Joe Chill, who kind of is like bringing you into the... Yeah. He ends up...
Wait, Lindsay, who's Joe Chill?
And traditionally, Joe Chill is the guy that kills Batman's parents. But not in this comic book. Joe Chill is the right-hand man to Lou Moxon in this. He ends up killing both of them because he feels like feeding on bad people is how he can survive and feel good about what he's become. But he sees the remorse and the sadness that come to Lumaxon's son and ex-wife? Wife? Widow? Widow. And he feels really bad about it. So he befriends Jeremy Loxon, who is the son, and they build this relationship, and he starts turning away from that sort of vigilante stuff and, like, feeling like maybe he could be human again. Until the end, when Joe Chill comes out of his grave, zombie style, and comes after him.
Wait, what?
Yeah. I don't know. I think he's a vampire of some sort. Because Joe Chill in this book has some sort of disease that has been killing him his entire life.
I.e. chlamydia.
Probably. That's probably right. He's a little crazy, so yeah, you know. Rotted his brain. But when Batman kills him, the interaction between his blood and Joe Chill's blood turns Joe Chill into this monster who then comes after Kirk Langstrom. And it doesn't really resolve itself at that point. You don't know.
It's a one shot, though, so are you going to get any resolution?
I'm assuming the movie will give you some sort of resolution. No. Not probably about Joe Chill. He wrecks him a little bit. Batman does wreck Joe Chill a little bit, but you don't know if this is something that is going to affect, like, is Joe Chill dead? Hmm. That's the question at the end of this. But he finds out, spoiler, Jeremy Loxon is not innocent. He's totally taking over his father's place. It tears him apart, Kirk Langstrom apart inside. He kills him, this guy who has suddenly become his best friend and, like, his surrogate son. He kills him at the end, and you see him sitting on the roof, fucking crying. This is Batman sitting on the roof crying. It was totally, totally just like a heart tearing apart moment in the book. The art in this is super dark.
Ridiculously
the lines
good.
Are really heavy. It gives you that feeling of like grittiness. So the art was done by Matthew Dow Smith, who I've never heard of before, but it is amazing. The story, Bruce Timm, obviously. J.M. DeMatteis also worked on it with him. The colors are Jordi Belair.
Which, yeah, like, I was looking at this.
Yeah.
God, she has got such a beautiful signature style. And the thing is, I don't remember her working on DC stuff. Like,
no.
She's primarily, like, a Image and other indie publisher type.
Yeah, the colors really play, the colors and the line work in this really play a lot into the feeling of the book. This cover that I picked up is Francesco Francavilla. You can tell just by looking at it.
Yeah.
It even has, you know what? I think he has to trademark this color red, because whenever I see this, I think of him. And it's just, it's very little in his eyes, but it is definitely, you see this and you know that it's him. So, all in all, it was a good book. I would say watch Gods and Monsters first, and then maybe read the one-shots that come out after it. Give yourself a little background.
Sweetness.
Very cool. All
right. Adam, you're new to this.
No,
give us a review.
No, we're gonna hold him off for a little while. He's gonna tie it in at the end.
Oh.
Yeah.
I can prepare.
Well, fine. Let's get some newts.
All right.
Some newts.
Some newts.
I haven't heard that one in a long time.
I know. Long time listeners, that's a little special for you. New people, just go with it. Okay. What news do we have this week?
Well, actually, I have two things. One, I have more than two, but I have two in particular that I want to tie into the Gods and Monsters thing. One, I saw this a while back, and I know I didn't tell you guys about this. Best cosplay idea I've seen executed was a guy and a girl dressed up in kind of like 1940s-ish garb.
I know where you're going,
you know,
with this.
And anytime they'd see somebody cosplaying as a Batman, they'd run up and go, "Son!" And then they'd just fall over. And
drop dead with bloodstains on them.
Yeah.
It's a great idea.
It's awesome.
To tie in, like we said, the DC multiverse is back. Essentially, the best description we have of it is you have your core canon, and then you have your... these stories are kind of close to the core canon. And then you have your out there shit that's like, hey, that's a weird, different thing. Gods and Monsters would totally be in that third tier
of
weird stuff. But with the end of Convergence, DC is bringing back their multiverse. So I guess that's cool.
That took like 10 minutes.
Yeah. Did anybody ever really think that the multiverse was actually not ever coming back?
No.
That's a lot like killing Superman.
Yeah.
We know he's going to come back in a few days.
Yeah.
Well, same thing with Marvel. Marvel's going to have their multiverse again. It's just going to be a little bit more limited and contained.
Right.
A little easier
to
manage.
It'll be different, but still
there. For both publishers, it's more limited and contained until it's convenient.
Yeah.
Right. Yep.
And
that's all it is.
Yeah.
Oh, but wait. It's easy to, well,
write myself out of the corner.
That didn't happen.
Right. Hey, one of my favorite things, I saw this big, someone doing an artistic rendition of the DC Universe. And you got Earth and all the different things, blah, blah, blah. But the coolest thing is, above all of it, was Destiny from the Sandman comics. Destiny of the Endless was reading the whole story.
No.
And I was like, hey, that's a good nod to the fact that it doesn't matter. It's all happening in the book. So
that's very cool.
Something else that actually kind of ties into Gods and Monsters is new series from Marvel, the new Blade series.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Daywalkers. We were kind of talking a little bit.
Yeah.
And
I'm a daywalker.
Okay, look at that cover.
No, that's just because you're ginger.
No, you're a ginger. If you go outside, you will burn like a vampire.
Will just get in a numerous amount
I get
of freckles.
Tan. Look at how tan and
no, the, yeah. Each no, of those freckles those is a freckles. Soul that yeah. he has taken.
That's
so.
True.
Those more, are the souls I take.
More freckles does not equal tan.
Back to the MODOK episode.
Yep. So, all right. So, anyway, Blade is coming back to comics this October from Marvel. And this time, he's joined by his daughter. Because, obviously, he lived a terrible enough life. Let's bring someone else in that's going to have to suffer as much
okay,
as
Okay, but here's the cool thing about
no,
it.
No, I'm sorry. That's a terrible fucking person. When you go, I've suffered so much because I have partial vampire blood in me. Hey, you know what? I'm going to go bang that chick and make somebody else.
Let's procreate.
Like, you know,
you got urges. You got urges.
Yeah.
You
know what? He covers
That's
his urges.
Twilight movie is about.
Okay. But Blade covers his urges with the thirst by taking care of it other ways. There's also this thing called jacking off. Take care of that urge that way.
He's got thirst that can only quench by vagina.
Oh, you said vagina. Drink.
Oh, damn it. Yeah, and was it bloody?
Hey, while we're on that topic.
What did one lesbian vampire say to the other? Can't wait till next month.
Oh, God. I
had
a joke in high school.
Oh, God.
That was before you were born, Eric.
Oh.
So let's change to a different
segwaying,
topic.
Actually, in a beautiful fashion.
This is not going to go well. And
Image Comics.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to the other.
Nope.
Image. Oh, no.
I'm not that dumb.
No.
So my next, I have two news articles, and they kind of correlate. I worked mental health for a very long time. I worked for government agencies, and you know, you have your local places that hand out free comics and whatnot, and
free comics.
Free condoms, and comics are now actually changing things up a bit. Image Comics has the comic book called Beauty, takes place in a world where. You can become more attractive if you contract a particular STD. And so they're actually driven to get this STD so that they can be more beautiful, you know, because of it.
So, well, but here's the funny thing. So, like, after I sent you guys this link, I started thinking about it. I go, isn't that pretty much the way everything goes now? Like, you think you're going to be better looking if you can bang somebody hotter than what you've
yep.
been used to?
Yep.
You know?
It's kind of the point, though.
It is
very thought provoking.
It is, and that's
it's
that
deep.
That is, I mean, that is super cool that they're doing that. But they're also with these comics sending condoms along.
I just really hope that the condom isn't like stapled through the center.
Oh,
you know, I was thinking about how they were transporting and whatnot, because if you think about like if this is printed in the down south. They're going to need cooler trucks because if it's over a certain degree temperature inside the truck, then the condoms melt anyway. Like, sure. That's why condoms don't work in a lot of third world countries.
Oh.
We can airlift them as much as we want, but they melt before they hit the ground and they get soup in packages.
Yep. Well, how's the friction work? I mean, because that creates heat, right?
It does, but that is also the dispersal
thing. That's why they're
lubricated.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah. It's why it's ribbed for her pleasure.
I turn them inside out because I want all the pleasure.
Hey, but a friend of the show who we just interviewed here with one of the brewers here at the Hideout suggested, she goes, comics are giving out condoms? I hope there's a Darth Vader comic condom coming out very soon. And then we thought about the fact that lightsaber condoms would be a lot of fun for boys.
Absolutely.
Probably
or,
not for girls.
I mean, they could be great for nerd girls. I mean, how many times have you been sabered?
I don't want a
lightsaber
in the vagina.
Yeah.
I just don't.
But no.
Like, said vagina.
Drink.
Oh, God.
Now Matt's drinking my beer.
Out of his shot glass.
Well,
so I just think it's, no, but the sad thing, we talked about this though too. If you have the lightsaber condom and the guy sees a girl and all of a sudden goes, oh, that's going to be bad for both people.
Yeah.
Yeah, when your midichlorian count isn't up, that's kind of a hard
so do they,
use of the
a little blue lightsaber pill.
Do they get into this comic at all, what it's about? What,
yeah,
like, what's the down? Is there a downside to this?
Of course there is.
Oh,
because
sure
you have
superpowers.
The purpose is that the more sex you have, the more beautiful you become. But when all you're having is meaningless sexual encounters, that does damage to the soul.
Well, and actually, there's...
Oh, it does?
Apparently, I don't know.
No, there... Well,
I'm in a monogamous married relationship, so all I've had is one partner.
So you have a monomana relationship?
Monomana. Do-do-do-do-do.
Monomana.
Do-do-do-do. No, they do talk about the fact that there's going to be like some kind of back end kicker that's like bad.
You know. On top of that, the comic book art for it actually has this woman who is aesthetically very beautiful, but she's very dark around the eyes. The lines are very heavy drawn, making her look almost like a husk.
Okay.
I think the point is kind of like the Dorian or the portrait of Dorian Gray.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where you might be beautiful on the outside, but man, in the inside, you're an ugly motherfucker.
Right. I gotcha. Okay.
Continuing on this vein of public issues, there's a artist named Leah Hayes in New York who is actually writing a comic book right now. It's kind of like a how-to info comic about abortion,
mm-hmm.
And this one came across me and struck me in a very interesting way because the upcoming comic book is titled Not Funny Haha, A Handbook for Something Hard. And it's really talking about what you need to do to prepare yourself. Like, this is a real decision, this is a real choice, and kind of the pros and cons of it, and whether or not, like, if you're going to do it, like, what things you should be doing as you're into there. The article that I was reading, thank you BuzzFeed, did not give a lot of information as to what her story is and why she would be so particularly
moved to do so,
but that she does feel very strongly about it, and the artwork is very approachable. I think for women in particular, it's focused to be a very empowering book, and it follows two characters named Mary and Lisa,
mm-hmm.
who are in their mid-20s to mid-30s,
mm-hmm.
and it's definitely a conversation piece.
But she also says that she wants this not just to be just for women, but also for men. It's an informative comic.
Correct.
And we will not get into the topic itself.
Correct.
But just the fact that comic books being used for information
It is, and I think with this one, I have not read it, so I cannot say, but I think probably one of the toughest things is to be able to, on a topic such as this, to go in and just try and be informational without pushing forward your opinion or agenda.
Right.
Yeah.
That's where it's
automatically you're going to have a slant and you're going to piss off some people.
Well, no.
But you know what? Those people and then write your good comic and let it reach the people that need to hear it.
Well, I think the slant comes from who's reading it.
That's true.
That's what it really comes down to.
But,
I
can tell you this much right now. All five of us sitting here at this table have completely differing views on a lot of different things.
For sure. Mm-hmm.
And I'd be surprised if any three of us agreed on any one particular thing.
Oh, we all agree that beer is really good.
That's true.
Politically.
Politically, okay.
Yeah.
Prohibition, we all agree, was a bad idea.
We have one. We can be friends.
I said vagina.
But if we're going to talk about politics and comics, Jeb Bush, who is running for the Republican nomination for presidency.
Younger brother of
George W. Bush. Son of H.W. Bush. Someone has written a comic book to explain his platform.
Here's the thing. Before we get too much into this, you have to realize this is done by Blue Water Productions. Blue Water Productions puts out a comic book as soon as there's anything that they think is enough of a buzzworthy type thing. They've done the they've done Miley Cyrus comic books. They've done the Paula Deen comic book. They've done, like, whenever something comes out, oh, we're gonna do
weren't
a comic.
Weren't they Martha Stewart Goes to Jail? Was it?
Yeah,
wasn't
I think
that
was them too. Like they do. Like, it,
she did not pass go. She went direct.
She did not collect that $200 million.
Yeah, so yeah, okay.
No, she not because she did.
Now, yeah. What I'm curious about is how many people this is actually reaching.
Right.
All seven.
But, but seven. But here's the point, though, is like, and this is a legitimate point for comic books as a forum for information, right? They are legitimate books, right? If I gave you a pamphlet that told you about a particular topic, you'd be like, oh, the pamphlet is very informative and is it a legitimate form of literature. But when I gave you a comic book about it, you'd be like, oh, that's for children. And it isn't worth very much. And I totally disagree. I think comic books are an amazing medium in which to give information to people and to demonstrate, you know, to put things in a visual perspective because lots of people are visual learners. So
it's very true. And it will be nice to actually have those people reached. You know, even if they don't care about politics or I mean, we all should. It's all, this is hey, go vote, kids, because it's a responsibility.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like,
well, and it looks like they're like this. They said that this is their newest installment of their political power series.
Yeah.
So clearly, they're doing.
Oh, they've had Hillary Clinton in there,
ones.
I think, before.
So,
and, you know.
The thing that I think is cool about this, I'm probably not going to read this.
What do you mean?
The
probably?
Word "probably" is it shouldn't even be in that sense. I'm not going to read this. But it just says something to the fact that comic books have gotten to the point where people feel like they're a good medium to
right.
talk about politics.
Hey, in 1957, I might be wrong on the date. Martin Luther King sanctioned a comic book written by the Fellowship of Reconciliation about the Montgomery bus story that explained, hey, this is why we boycotted the buses in Montgomery. This is what nonviolent protest is all about. And it reached a whole generation of young African Americans in picture and word form. And it's still, you can just search for it on the internet and you can find a PDF to download and stuff. But it is a great way to reach the masses is a comic book. So I'm glad that people are doing it. I think comic books are great in political nature. The comic book about abortion, whatever your views are on it, it's a good way of getting more dialogue about it. So
yep.
Agreed.
Absolutely, because it used to be newspapers, and we all know people don't read them nearly as much
print
as they
did.
Print is dead.
Except for comic books.
Comic books seem to
hey,
be having that resurgence.
My favorite section of the newspaper was always the comic section.
I mean, that's
so.
Very true. So, I mean, Washington Irving, even at the foundation of our country, was a political satirist. And now we have the ability to not only offer satire, but information in the ways that otherwise we would have read in a much more word-oriented form. It's now seen as entertainment, but it doesn't have to be less informative.
So, speaking of informative things, that's me. And I'm going to steal this show right now. All right. You like that segue? Fuck off. All right. So, DC Comics and Marvel Comics back in 1976 had the Battle of the Century of Superman versus the Amazing Spider-Man. Well, Alex Ross somehow managed to sneak just a little bit of Superman onto the cover of a brand new Marvel comic for the Secret Wars number 8. And in it, it's kind of like this broken mirror effect on it. Spider-Man is down in kind of the lower left-hand corner. And
he's hanging about 8 o'clock.
Yeah. And he's got a very, very tiny little shadow in the background by his leg. And guess what? That's Superman's foot. Superman was on a Marvel comic. Now, it's homage to...
That's so bad.
Yeah, it's total homage to the Carmine Infantino and Ross Andrew cover from 1976. I thought it was cool. I thought it was worth just mentioning the fact that technically, if you know, there's a DC cover or a DC character on a Marvel Comics cover.
My question is, why is Spider-Man versus Superman in the Battle of the Century? I mean, like, the power levels there are just totally outclassed.
I mean, other than the fact that...
But with great power comes great responsibility.
See, it comes down to the fact that Spider-Man is significantly more relatable than Superman.
So much more.
So, I mean, really, it's the Battle of the Century. It's our own humanity that was battling against Superman. Like, is it our ability to outthink and outstrategize, or is it simply that certain powers are going to be too big for us?
It's all about America. Because,
it's all about America.
Because he's an illegal alien. Superman. Yeah.
Hey. All right. This is something that has always been a debate between DC and Marvel. DC is about gods trying to be humans, and Marvel is always about humans who have godlike power.
It's true. Yep. So. Well, apparently there's a clothing company that does not have godlike power because DC is suing them.
For the most shenanigans reason of all time.
Yeah, so...
Because if you take a pentagram, which has five sides, and you make it somewhat diamond-shaped, and you put any type of letters in the middle
that
of it...
That are yellow and red. Yep.
It's apparently Superman. Are they going to sue Superman Ice Cream next?
I think they should. I think I really
DC
think
DC probably
should.
Owns the right Superman Ice Cream.
Also,
probably.
Yes.
anyway, they're suing this company called Mad Engine. Because they put out a t-shirt that has the letters D-A-D inside this logo, which, okay, yes, I get
it's
it. It's
super
dad.
Yeah.
You know, I get it. But you know what? Fuck off.
Right.
They should sue them over the fact that this is a terrible looking t-shirt, not the fact that it's, like, copyright free.
This is the Father's Day present that kids are going to get for their dads who actually don't know their dads.
As I say, real super dads just shave that in their chest hair. So,
wow,
like me.
Like this isn't. If you're a dad and you're a comic book fan, this isn't what you want.
No.
If you're a dad and you're not a comic book fan, this isn't what you want.
All right, guys, I got I've got two more things that I think we have to talk about before we wrap it up because we are definitely running along here. But
for sure.
Lindsay, the one that you have to bring up, Walking Dead and beer.
Oh, yes. Okay. So, hold on. Let me pull this up because I've been drinking and I don't have a memory right now.
Shocking.
So, no, I got it. I got the internet. So, my internet's not working.
Terrapin Beer Company, The Walking Dead have teamed up to brew the official beer of the Undead.
There's going to be a Walking Dead beer.
Yep.
The Walking Dead Blood
Orange. Is it an
IPA?
Yep. Yes. Oh, and I love the description, the fact that made with blood orange peel and a horrific amount of hops, this bloodthirsty red IPA will have you prepared for the upcoming zombie apocalypse.
Which is, I have to mention, in the same article that was covering through this, they also mentioned that this is not the first time that there's been one teamed up with The Walking Dead, but the other one was slightly more terrifying when Philadelphia's Dock Street Brewing Company unveiled their American Pale Stout that had smoked goat brains.
That sounds gross.
Because that's delectable.
Because
it couldn't just be goat brains, but
seems,
smoked goat brains.
That seems more like Night of the Living Dead than just
Return of the Living Dead was the brain zombies.
Oh, yeah.
Brains. Yeah. Yeah, that was... Was that the one with Tony Todd?
I think so.
Where they were in the crematorium at the cemetery? Yeah.
It's such a bad movie, but it's so good.
Yeah, and I love the half-naked old woman zombie that was just terrified, like I never wanted to see boobs for another hour.
Nice. Just an hour.
Yeah. All right, one last thing I have to bring up, because this is it's just worthy of mentioning. Salt Lake City Comic Con, I love you. You went out and copyrighted your name, and San Diego Comic Con is still trying to sue you. So, yeah.
One last thing. So we had a death in the comic book.
Oh, that's right.
This
we had bad
Tom
news.
Moore, Archie Comics passed away this week.
Yeah. So, condolences, thoughts, prayers, all that,
and
go out to his friends and family. So. All right, guys, let's move on
to
Indie Turnpike, and then we'll wrap it up with Booze in a Book. Actually, you know what? Let's do Booze in a Book real quick.
Sure. Booze in a Book, we are jumping off onto Groot number 2. They started their standalone, and we are pairing that today with the Hideout Brewing Company's barrel-aged stout and bourbon barrel wheat wine.
And before you get too into it, because you are new, Booze in a Book is brought to you once again by InkWhiskey.com. Go home and get online and check on them. Go home. What the hell?
Go home.
Yeah. And,
if you're in your car listening,
go home.
If you're at work, then awesome.
Yeah, go home.
Way to avoid the boss.
If you're at home, then just do it right
go
now.
Go to InkWhiskey.com, check out their flasks, and buy them because they're awesome.
And you got a whole bunch of new products coming out soon, too.
Yep.
I've been watching their lines. It's looking great. So, reason we're doing that, The beers that we were tasting here were barrel-aged in some beautiful wood barrels, and I was thinking about the resourcefulness of Sir Groot, who in Groot number 2 actually has a hallucination as he's floating through space, or maybe a dream. We'll go with a dream. It's a happy dream. Where
he's a tree. They dream.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine. He gets
Unless
to,
they grow some of those mushrooms on them, then that might be a hallucination.
Yeah, that might be a trip. So he actually, in this comic, envisions the rest of the superheroes all in Groot form. So they've got the little Groot sticks growing out of their head, and there's a problem with Groot Lactus, the Groot version of Galactus coming to eat all the floral and
fauna. Oh my god, I love the drawing of Groot Lactus.
No, and the art in this comic book is wonderful. If you have kids, folks...
Who did this book?
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't actually say that. If you have kids, really, really snag this one. It's really approachable, it's a lot of fun. The writer was Jeff Loveness. Brian Kessinger was the artist. Jeff Eckelberry did the lettering. And then the covers were done by Declan Shelby and Jordy Belair.
Well,
I mean, the whole series all the way through.
Power couple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Groot Lactus.
Yeah, yeah. Groot Lactus was so much fun. And the whole storyline introduces all of these very interesting characters. And I'm not going to spoil it for you, but it goes over why Rocket Raccoon understands what Groot says, and it has to do with a prison cell. So you guys enjoy it, read through, please pick it up. It's a wonderful read.
Everybody is spoiler free their first Drunk on Comics episode.
See, I would assume though that it has to do with something, the fact that Rocket drinks a lot, and he drinks a lot of beer from the hideout.
This is actually,
and that's why I can understand it, because
it's very possible, but they don't cover that in this book.
I just want to know, does Groot pee maple syrup? Because if so, he's my best friend.
Can we talk about what beer would taste like if it was brewed in, or if it was aged in
Groot barrels?
Groot barrels?
It would taste like, I am Groot.
Give yourself an extra Groot beer.
You know, yeah.
Groot beer!
Groot beer!
No!
Actually, there was a Groot beer thing that came out not too long ago. Matt, at some point you should actually go back and listen to the podcast.
Nope.
Yeah, because we talked about Groot beer. With the little rocket kicker on the side. It was like a little energy drink rocket kicker.
Energy drinks are stupid, but Groot beer is awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you, Groot.
All right. Indy Turnpike, I don't even know where to start on this. I've got Wolf number one.
Start with the fact of how fucking thick it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't fit in the traditional
You're welcome.
Size.
You're welcome. Yes. Yeah. It's so thick. Wolf number one from Image Comics. Why are you laughing?
Keep going.
The beer.
Yeah. Derek and Adam and Matt, we're all fine.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, so Ale Scott wrote this book. Matt Taylor did the art. Colors were Lee Lowridge. And letters, Clayton Cowles. Designer, Tom Mueller. I'm curious as to what a designer is.
Yeah, that's something new.
Yeah, but he got his name on the front cover, so I'm assuming it's important.
Probably put the damn staples in that monster book.
I was going to say, it's a really big book. He probably had to design where...
Yeah. Tom Mueller put the staples in the giant, giant book that is Wolf. So, I mentioned this one a few months back when we got the news release about it. And this is the description that we got, which is also the description on the back of the book. That Antoine Wolf, a hard-boiled paranormal detective with a death wish, has to cope with a sudden responsibility for an orphan teenage girl who might be the key to the impending apocalypse, California style. Now, the reason that I remember...
Does that mean it's with avocado?
Like my apocalypse.
No. It probably means, style. Like, I'm going to fucking stab you in the face.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Do you guys...
You know, I can't even. And the world literally dies because she can't even.
All right.
Or drought.
Oh. Current events.
Sorry, guys. Any of you listening out there, we'll raise a toast of water to you.
I'm sorry, Californians. It's good to live in the state of Michigan. You got some great lakes.
You're surrounded by water.
Do you know we have so much water?
Oh, my God, you guys. Like, look at
all right, so I'm going to do all this whole review in an upswing on the end of all my sentences, because that's the best way to talk.
That's fine. We can go to the lumpy space afterwards.
So, all right, so this comic, I can't even do it.
This is it. That is not unnatural.
I can't do it. All right, so we're going to start first with the actual story on here. what Kot did with this, for people that have heard me talk about They're Not Like Us, this has kind of that reminiscent feeling. There are humans, and then there are superhumans. They're not the techno humans or whatever. What were they?
Techno sapiens.
They're not techno sapiens. These are just better people. So,
what if they really just got their power from listening to Sandstorm? How awesome that'd be!
I don't know that.
No one's laughing at you. No one knows that reference. That joke was...
Bad techno song from like the 90s, you know?
Oh, yeah, techno. That was the thing that we didn't listen to.
Because you guys were both...
Because we're not German?
Now's the time of sprockets when we dance.
Would you like to touch with Loki? Touch it, feel it!
So there are people like Matt, and then there's people like everybody else.
Okay. Yes, not you, Matt. Different Matt. But anyway, this book follows Antoine Wolfe, who has a military background, which is easy to tell because he has dog tags in this. That helps. But then you find out more a little bit later. But yeah, we've kind of talked about this before and currently. This is a Chokey Monkey.
It is.
For $5, that is a thick book.
If that is like, how long did it take you to read through this?
40 minutes, approximately. Yeah.
How long does it generally take you to read through a comic book?
8 minutes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
This, now, granted, this one is a little wordy. Maybe it was only 30 minutes.
But I don't see a lot of ads in there either. No. So this is a nice graphic novel.
This is zero ads. You have from inside front cover, which is, you know, kind of the title page, to the inside back cover.
There's not even a letters...
There's no letters column, obviously, because it just started as issue one. How are you?
Lindsay,
I'm going to start a comic.
Sometimes they
about
set up the letters column on the first issue.
Or maybe they just give you informational pages. Whatever, but letters column, that doesn't work.
No Nick Lachey in there either, because it's image. So
no, there's no Nick Lachey, no Twix at all. But yeah, this is a beautiful written book. And I mean, this is one of those books, again, where... I think the fact that because they weren't worried about how large the book was, they didn't feel like they had to shut down the storytelling. And you look where you have, like, you know, five panoramic panels that take up a page, then a single word, basically just showing the movement of what's going on helps slow down that pace of the book and actually really draws you into it. And I think this is one of the reasons why this book, it just grabbed me so much. I can talk about this thing for hours. Because it's honestly 5 minutes per page. I could easily give this thing. I'm not going to. I'm going to tell you guys, go buy Wolf.
The art
yourself.
Looks beautiful.
It
the colors
gorgeous.
Look beautiful. It just looks like an amazing, well put together, well thought out.
There's so much
long story.
There's so much going on in here.
Yeah.
And I think my fingers crossed. This is kind of like Lost, where there's a whole bunch of stuff going in. There's all these little things. But my hope is they're actually going to answer the questions because they actually know where it's going.
Right.
So, with that said, go buy it. Check it out. Yeah. That's Indie Turnpike.
All right.
Sweet.
Last call?
Last call.
Did any of you bitches read anything else besides what you reviewed?
My wife said if I didn't mention that everyone should go read all of Squirrel Girl, she was going to kill me. So.
What is their tagline?
Squirrel Girl.
Eats nuts, kicks butts. But it's always fun at the comic shop to flip those two. Eats butts, kicks nuts.
There you go.
Alright, I had Fight Club number 2.
I picked number 3.
Fight Club number 2, number 3.
What did you, real quick?
Confused? Yeah.
Okay, me too.
Yeah.
I'm not the only one.
And Run, Love, Kill, number 4 of 8. Okay.
Guardians of Nowhere, also a good solid read.
Sure.
Brand new kind of direction for the Guardians, / not really a new direction, because it's generally just Guardian shenanigans. But it looks like it's going to be a fun story arc after the finishing of Black Vortex.
Nice.
Sweet.
Young Neil?
I said read Squirrel Girl. It's good.
Matt didn't read anything
I also said Fight Club because I love that Tyler Durden has been around way longer than you thought he has from the movie.
Yeah.
P.S. Did you catch the Chuck Palahniuk?
Palahniuk?
Easter egg?
Palahniuk?
No, I think it's Palahniuk.
Palahniuk. No.
He wrote himself into this book. Did you guys catch that?
No, I did not.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's go back.
I'll go back and drink.
All right. So I got Fight Club 2, number 3 as well, but I also picked up Book of Death, The Fall of Bloodshot.
How did I miss that one?
I don't know, but it was fucking good. For me not knowing a whole lot about Valiant Universe, it was just really interesting to read about this character and how, I mean, the Book of Death Falls of, they're doing a Fall of for all of their characters. So this is going to be, this obviously this is for Bloodshot. They're going to do one for each one of their characters. So it's, I don't know if this is going to be continuity or if this is just like, this is what the Book of Death says, how you're going to die.
That'd be cool.
In comic book form. So, but it was really interesting and he broke my heart, man. This poor guy. Nice. Anyway, pick it up. It was good.
All right, guys. I think that's going to do it. So keep reading your comics.
And keep drinking those beers.
Yes.
Yeah. Especially out of shot glasses.
Local brews, people.
Power Hour is a good thing.
All right, guys. We will be back next week talking more about the comics then. We'll see ya.
Bye.
I can still see your nipples.
They didn't go away.